You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Let's pretend that this is going to go seven games. And let's say the five starters for the Celtics and the five starters for the Knicks, you think they're going to be relatively even in terms of their offensive output?
I would hope so.
Then the difference is what's coming off the bench and who's scoring off the bench.
Yeah. I'd really like to see a just dud of a series from Kristaps Porzingis, too. That would be great.
Well, this is where if he were playing for the Knicks, he'd end up getting hurt.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
He'd have a thigh contusion or something.
He'd have a flank problem. Brian in Sea Caucus. What's going on, Brian?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey.
I just wanted to make the point that it seems like basketball doesn't have any plays. Like football, you have a running play, a passing play. It's like 5-10 guys running around with chickens without a head, and I don't know, see if somebody gets open or throw the guy, throw up an air ball. It seems like there's no set plays in basketball.
No, there are. There are definitely set plays, and a lot of it is, you know, intuition, playing with each other for years, knowing where each other's going to be, picking roles. You know, constant movement, guys running from one end to the other. Some guys are set in the corner, you know, and the key is to know where everybody is on the court at the time of when it is crunch time. And, you know, like you know what the Knicks are doing. You could see Bridges is going to be in the corner and Anobi's going to be in the other corner.
Mm-hmm.
Karl-Anthony Towns probably going to be out by, you know, maybe foul line extended or something. And then Jalen Brunson's going to be running off of a pick and roll, either of him or Mitchell Robinson or Josh Hart.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Tibbs has left something to be desired with some of his out-of-timeout inbounds plays for sure. That's just been a thing that has followed him around since he's been the coach. It hasn't hurt him that much, but there are times where you're a little bit confused as to what they're doing. But, yeah, I mean, you saw some real ball movement and some real offense in Game 3. And last night you saw in crunch time just Jalen Brunson having to take the entire game over, especially because Karl-Anthony Towns had fouled out at that point. But it was all in Jalen Brunson's hands. So, yeah, I mean, when you've got a star who is that clutch, who's your point guard, and is got he's now tied for the most 40-point games in Knicks playoff history.
Which is crazy, and he's got 2 years here. You know, the one thing I will say is that, you know, whether it be Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan, those guys took the ball in their hands late in games and would go make plays. Sometimes they would pass it off to a teammate that was wide open, but most of the time they were driving to the hoop, they were trying to get a foul, and they were going up and getting a basket. When their team needed it, those guys went and got it. And that's what Jalen Brunson is doing. He's doing that part of it. If there is a criticism that is thrown at LeBron James, is that when he is in that situation, more often than not, as he is going, he may be doubled, he's willing to pass it.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest shot that was taken in the Cleveland championship that he finally delivered to that city was from Kyrie Irving because he decided to give up the ball.
Which is okay. I mean, it's fine.
Well, that's the point, is that it worked.
And you had another superstar that you were passing it to. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, is that if it's the end of the game and it's under 2 minutes, Jalen Brunson's going to have the ball in his hands. And he's going to have to create something. And there will usually be a high pick and roll. I mean, there were a couple of pick and rolls last night where, I mean, there were guys being tackled.
Yeah. I mean, I also think you can't win in that situation unless, so if you're Jalen Brunson, you hit the shot, you can win. But if you're Jalen Brunson and you miss the shot, you're like, he's ball hog, he passed the ball. And then if he passes the ball and then the other guy misses the shot, why aren't you taking the shot? So that shot always has to be you, and it always has to go down, or you're going to get criticism both ways. You should have passed it, or you shouldn't have passed it.
Well, to me, I mean, this team, the biggest problem that they have is the lack of bench scoring as we speak right now.
Well, and then defending the three-pointer and defense overall, I think, is a huge problem.
But they're getting nothing from their bench. Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the one game from campaign.
Yep.
That was it.
Game one.
Yeah. I mean, and he was awesome. And since that point, have they really gotten much?
No. Dan in Scarsdale. What's going on, Dan?
Hey, guys. Quick question. I'm wondering whether the main problem here with the Knicks is the coaching. That Tibbs really isn't the right guy for the team, and they need to somehow get someone that is more in tune with what the Knicks need to do. And I ask that because I look at a team like OKC, and I feel like they have one true superstar. And we've got more than that, yet we're not producing like we need to be.
Well, I mean, look at the Cavaliers as well. I mean, they're built sort of in a similar way, and they've got really, really good players, but it's not like, the LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh teams by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, there's no doubt that a Tom Thibodeau team is not built like this. That is for sure. And the Pistons are more of a Tom Thibodeau team than the Knicks are. And if they end up getting like completely wiped out in this series, maybe there is a conversation about him. And it's not necessarily even his fault. And I know Leon Rose consults with Tom Thibodeau, but maybe it's just the team at this time would need a new voice and someone just a little bit different, especially if there's coaches out there that are available that you wouldn't expect. You see what's going on with the Rangers. There was a guy who won a couple of cups in Pittsburgh. He was there for 10 years, got a little stale. The fact that an NHL head coach is anywhere for 10 years is amazing. The Rangers job is open. All of a sudden, mutual parting of ways, big contract.
Yes.
Could something like that happen with Eric Spoelstra?
Mike Malone.
Yeah, I know. Malone's already fired, but I don't know. From the Knicks insiders that we talked to, the Knicks insiders.
Yeah.
They don't feel like Malone is well-liked in the building enough to be the guy. So.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that those other three teams at the top of the top-tier teams, that's what I would call them, top-tier teams.
Top-tier teams.
Yeah. I mean, they're deeper than the Knicks. That's all there is. And the question is Tibbs going to go to his bench and use his bench more in this series? I mean, he has relied on his starters. And I know the other teams play their starters just as much. It's just that they don't seem to get, the Knicks don't seem to get great point production from the bench.
Let's go to Merrill in Oceanside. What's going on, Merrill?
Good morning, you guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Feel Good Friday, Merrill. What's up?
Hi. I was coming to that question that you just were mentioning. I don't understand. The whole series, he didn't put in Precious Achiuwa at all. And yeah. Precious Achiuwa was very involved during the regular year. You know, somewhat. You know, like, it doesn't make sense. Is he punished or something? Is he benched?
No.
You
know?
It's all about matchups and trust and defense and physicality. I mean, I'm sure Tibbs has his reasons. But, you know, Merrill, you're speaking right to me because I said this last year, and everybody took it the wrong way. I'm not saying that he's got to be out there playing 30 minutes, but you got to give the guy some skin in the game, please. I mean, everybody, like, you practice, you play, you're out there, you play the whole season, guys get hurt. Let me turn to you. You're the guy that's got to go in there. And then when it becomes this time of the year, all of a sudden the guy's tied to the bench. And I tried to explain that from Wally Szczerbiak's perspective and how he understood it as a player. Precious is not a guy that's going to be yapping and screaming and yelling and bitching and complaining. That's not who he is.
No.
Now, he may do that once the season is over and say, hey, if I'm not good enough to play in the playoffs, my coach doesn't want to play me, what the hell am I doing here?
I mean, you may see him a lot in this series coming up. You just don't know. But for this particular series against the Pistons, he felt like he wasn't worth putting in the game. But, I mean, Merrill is speaking your language right there, boy, on a feel-good Friday.
I'm trying to be realistic. You know, I'm like, I don't want him out there for 30 minutes, but, you know, you got to give him something. You know, give somebody a break. I mean, like, just Josh Hart, I mean, he just goes 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's what he does, though. You know what I mean? That's his game. And he's conditioned. He does it. Well, I mean, just keep him doing what he's doing. Get a bunch of rebounds. Be the energy. Dean in Norwalk. What's going on, Dean?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Friday.
Yeah, what's up, Dean?
A lot of the criticism on Tibbs is justified. I don't think Coach Brunson is any good as a tactician. If you notice, though, the turnaround with the Cavs and the fall of the Knicks with the way their offense is run, it's Johnny Bryant going to the Cavs. That's the reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting...
Johnny Bryant's back.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting take, and he is the, like, assistant head coach, I think, now for the Cavs under Kenny Atkinson, and he was with the Knicks prior to that. I mean, it's something I hadn't heard of and hadn't thought of. I'm usually not thinking about assistant coaches, quite frankly, but, you know, there may be something to that. I mean, I know you got a couple of guys on there with a ton of experience. And
but, Rick, I mean, Darius Garland has taken his game to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Mo Cheeks is on that Knicks staff back there doing his thing.
Right.
Big Maurice Cheeks.
But you know how, like, certain guys grow up right before your eyes and all of a sudden find their game and feel comfortable? No matter what sport we're talking about, it's usually about quarterbacks when we're talking about that.
Sure.
But Darius Garland has taken his game to a whole nother level.
Yeah, I mean, he has, and then just with the two big guys playing as well together as you could possibly imagine, it doesn't necessarily work like that all the time when you put two big guys like Mobley and Jared Allen together, but the two of them are just two peas in a pod, and it's just working out great. It's just one of those teams. It just fits perfectly, and they're going to be a tough, tough out no matter who they face. And right now, I mean, quite frankly, I mean, they're the best team in the East. I mean, you can't tell me it's the Celtics the way that the Cavaliers have played.
Yeah, it is interesting because now you have Indiana and New York having to play these two teams.
Yep.
And, you know, can one or the other upset two of the best teams in the league?
It's a shame that Tyrese Halliburton's dad has been banned from the rest of the games because we could have gotten him out there, you know, maybe a little...
Get in the face of, I don't know, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, get in the face of him, maybe, you know, throw a punch, something like that.
Just... Quite frankly, I'm not worried about that series right now. I'm looking at one series, one possession, one quarter, one half, one game. That's how you got to take it.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So the Abdul Carter number 56 thing is over. You know, LT said, you know, go get your own number, a new number, and make history with that. We know that the number 11 and Phil Simms, that was not going to happen as well. I mean, it's amazing that Micah Parsons and Abdul Carter sat there and were like, oh, man, you're going to go get that 11.
This is damn generation, man. It's like they all think like, hey, I accomplished something great at Penn State. You haven't done jack for the Giants yet.
You almost went with a D word there. I saw your lips going there.
Just annoys the hell out of me. You haven't done jack for the Giants yet. LT is a great all-time Giant. Phil Simms is a great all-time Giant. And there's a reason why their numbers are retired.
Yeah.
You go get yourself another number, son, and then you make that number famous, just like LT said.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't agree with LT on a lot of things. I agree with LT on this thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think anybody who has made their own name in the NFL would say exactly that. And it's surprising to me that, like, if you want to spin it, well, oh, Abdul Carter's paying homage to the Giants and their greats. Like, I don't see it that way. I mean, maybe he's misunderstanding what this is all about. But isn't that what you want? Did you want to be your own guy? You want to have your number in a ring of honor, your number retired. I want every kid to be wearing your number, not LT's number, because he was great and you want to be great. So,
you know, he showed great affinity for LT prior to the draft,
which was great. Nice.
Which was perfect. That's respect. That's what you want. And then all of a sudden gets hooked into one of these podcasts and decides that, you know, and been led down this path, you know, of which number are you taking? I mean, it's... And then all of a sudden, you know, yeah, I'd love to have number 50. Yeah, yeah, you're not getting 56. You're not getting 11. So stop. You know, get some other number. Make some other number what you want. And by the way, I will say that Ryan Fitzpatrick came out and scolded Zach Wilson for the number that he wants to wear in Miami.
Yeah, zero.
Yeah, and Ryan's very right. You know, Ryan's obviously a very smart guy, very deep-thinking guy. Said, you know, you want to be taken seriously. Don't wear that number. You know, don't wear the number. You know, you're trying to get your career back on track. Don't wear zero. It's just not a good look. And he's right.
No, I agree. I mean, I thought they just gave it to him for the number of completions that he's going to have in Denver for the rest of his career. I didn't know if Zach actually chose it himself.
Well, in Miami, yes, I think he did.
I mean, in Miami, yeah. Nah, zero completions in Denver and now zero in Miami. Yeah, so we'll definitely see if Abdul Carter gets a... I'm excited to see him play right off the bat because these edge rushers are guys that can make an impact week one.
Yes.
We've seen it before.
Not all edge rushers week one.
But they can.
Yes, some can.
It's one of those positions, though.
How did Kayvon Thibodeau
do? No, not so good. But it's one of those positions that guys that when they're great...
It's simple.
Yeah, go get
this
the quarterback.
Is what you do. Just go get the quarterback. And like Will Campbell said, the tackle out of LSU, he goes, I could block a guy 40 times a game, and he doesn't do anything. But on that 41st time, he sacks and causes a fumble in the fourth quarter, and I'm the villain.
Yeah. Tiny arms, Will Campbell. Short arms. Alligator arms, they say about him.
Yeah, he seemed like a nice kid.
Very nice kid.
Seems like a Vrabel type of player.
Yeah. Why, he likes guys with short arms?
I guess so.
Yeah. But all the Patriots fans are a little bit worried about that. Might have to go to guard with those little baby arms that he's got, like right in here.
It's tough. doesn't have not a big wingspan.
I don't know. I watched a number of his highlights, and he handled a lot of the better pass rushers in college pretty easily.
Well, I hope so. He got drafted in the top five, for God's sakes.
Even with those short arms.
Even with those tiny arms.
Mark in New Rochelle. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy Monday.
What's up?
Yeah, baby. I got a question, or it's my opinion. I've been watching baseball my whole life. I'm 60 years old. Is it me or is Dave Sims trying to establish himself as a premier broadcaster? Is he trying to not duplicate John Sterling? But it seems to me on every play, he's over the top. Am I wrong or...
Are you listening? So, Mark, are you listening to the games or just listening to the highlights that we play?
Both.
All right, because that's...
I mean, he's good on the play-by-play, but these, like Aaron Judge hits a 900-foot home run. You would think it's game seven, bottom of the ninth, and he wins the World Series. It's just like he's no Bob Costas. He's no Al Michaels. You know what I'm saying? Listen,
well,
he's certainly not John Sterling. But
didn't you think that John, man, listen, just to defend Dave for a second, didn't you think John was a little bit over the top at times?
Maybe it's just something that we got used to as fans. I don't know. Maybe it's just giving Dave a break. I like Dave. Don't get me wrong. I like Dave. But it just seems like on everything, it's like Aaron Judge just tripped over the bag and stupid stuff.
Listen, Mark, I don't necessarily agree.
Man.
I like the fact that he's getting excited. There's two things that we had brought up. From a criticism standpoint, if you will, one was the hey now just feels weird in New York when Howard Stern did that for a million times, for a million years. And also, I would like to hear him. He sounds a little too down when the other team does something. Like Howie Rose does that perfectly. When the opponent does something, Howie calls it with an energy where you can tell it's the opponent and he's not excited about it, but he does it with an energy where you're like, okay, he's still calling the game, where Dave sounds morose when the other team does something.
Well, just remember, you know, Dave Sims is 72 years old. He's been around the block. He's not changing for anybody. He's got his certain style.
Yep.
And the hey now has been a part of his style for a long time out in Seattle.
Yeah.
So this is the first time we've heard it here. Howard Stern makes a big deal out of it. And, you know, Dave Sims is a professional. So it would be one thing if you were like a 25-year-old and he was trying to cut his teeth and he was trying to get in like some of those guys last year and they were trying to do a little bit of the John Sterling stuff. There's only one John Sterling. And eventually you'll get more and more used to Dave Sims and you won't have, you know, difficulties of trying to figure out what he's doing and how he's doing it because he's done it this way his entire life.
Yeah, this is just the way that people are going to react to a new voice in there after many, many years of the same guy. And not everybody's going to get used to it as quick. But I don't think that he's over the top with everything. I don't believe that.
And he doesn't hey now every home run.
No, occasionally.
I mean, John Sterling had a tagline for every home run.
Yeah. But it's like, do you think Dave's over the top? Like, but the guy that you had there for a while was over the top, and you liked over the top with him.
The Yankees win! Right, I mean, come on. Jesus.
Let's go to Tom in Merrick. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just want to get back to the draft real quick.
Yeah.
So as far as the Jets, one of their biggest problems last year was stopping the run, right? We lost all our big boys on the defensive line. And in this draft, that was something that, you know, it was like they really need to address that. And the damn Buffalo Bills, three different times, jumped in front of us and took three big boys.
I know. It's really unbelievable that they did that. So it was, and two of them were with the Bears, too, right? So, I mean, it was like the Bears were in cahoots with the Bills with this, jumping ahead of the Jets a couple of times. So, yeah, that was frustrating. I mean, and that's one of those things, too, that, you know, a first-time general manager in Darren Mooji, you know, maybe he learns from this experience and in a couple years down the road, this doesn't happen to him. But that's a guy who's been very experienced in Brandon Bean. He knows he's got the Jets ahead of him. He knows what they want.
what they're looking for, and he made sure that he got the guys and they didn't.
Yeah, he took that guy, Deion Walker.
Yeah,
from
they got
Kentucky.
Us again.
Yep, they did.
They did get you again. Assuming these players work out, but they took that. The kid is 6'7", 335 pounds out of Kentucky, the defensive tackle. They went defensive tackle, edge rusher, defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm. Big boys.
Well, they know that they have a great quarterback that can generate points.
That's right.
Now they got to backfill some of this defense and try to get this defense back up to speed and get into the top 10 in terms of rankings.
Yeah. I mean, but that's something when we talk about, all right, first-time head coach, first-time general manager. I know Rick Spielman's there to sort of advise, but you know, I don't know how much he involved he was in the war room, in the draft room, but yeah, that's one of those things where, you know, it looks like a team in a division played you a couple times.
Yeah, they went, by the way, they went three defensive linemen in a row, and then two out of the next three picks were defensive backs, and then they took an offensive tackle and a late-round wide receiver out of Maryland, that kid, Caden Prather.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how you're going to have to, when you have a quarterback that's making as much money as Josh Allen does or Joe Burrow does, and you have to spread the cap around and you can't necessarily keep everybody you want, you got to hit in the draft on defensive players.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
All right, let's get to some of the football clips from the weekend. First with the Giants. So I feel like this all started with the Micah Parsons podcast with Abdul Carter after he was drafted. He mentioned the 56. I know Lawrence Taylor has since said, yeah, not happening. But before, I think LT chimed in. This was Carter with the media. I think this was Friday afternoon or Friday night with the New York media.
We're still in the process of that, but we'll see what happens.
Which one would you prefer?
We'll see what happens.
I think what's going to happen is a different number. I don't think it's going to be 11 or 56.
No.
He's going to have to pick a different number.
I'm just telling you, man, the teams have got to protect those numbers. I said this on Friday. Now, everybody is saying that Warren Moon
gave the number one to Cam Ward when he was drafted. Well, that's because he was not only the first overall pick, but everybody got a number one for the teams that they were picked by. That was their jersey. Mm-hmm. So Abdul Carter was handed a number one jersey when he was drafted. So the thing is, technically, Warren Moon wore the Houston Oilers jersey, not the Tennessee Titans jersey.
Yeah.
So if Cam Ward does end up with number one, it's a completely different franchise.
That's right. So it's not really unretiring a Titans number one.
Right.
It's different.
Exactly.
Here was Jackson Dart, the new Giants quarterback, already hearing from one Eli Manning.
He was actually one of the first people to reach out to me yesterday when the news broke. And I just think that I've had such a great connection with him and the Manning family that being able to have them in my corner has been a huge asset. And I couldn't be more blessed to have them in my corner coming here and continue that in the future.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Do you think that he was aware of your rant?
I don't know, man. It seemed like maybe Brian Daboll was when he showed up at the facility. Daboll was like touching him around his belly. I don't know if you saw that. He's like, I don't know, man. I didn't know about this. If Phil Simms says he's pudgy, then maybe I got to check this out. I'm not kidding either. He really was. He was patting him around the midsection there.
And then there's this Cam Scatabo, who the Giants drafted, this bruising running back, fired up to be with the Giants.
Super excited, man. I had a great visit with them, and I'm glad I can be a part of this organization and be ready to, take whatever's on storm and get going. So
I think he was a little emotional, too.
Oh, he was. Excited. Yeah. Yeah, totally in tears around his family. I think it was his dad that was next to him, was tearing up to him. That's a big one right there.
Yep. And then you guys talked about the prank call from Jeff Ulrich's son. So here is the call that is online. And so I guess it was from a live stream. I get that. But clearly, Ulbrich's son had to post him doing the phone call, too. So that's another part of
this.
Yeah,
it was Ulbrich's son was in the background of this. It was not him that made the call, but mm-hmm. It was him that got the number.
The number.
Yes.
So here is the prank call.
This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good. How are you, man?
Good. Doing way more.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
This ain't going to be nothing to
do. Yeah. Hey, but you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, man. Sorry about that.
And then you kind of hear them laughing, and then here was on the other side, Shador, as they hang up.
What does that mean?
What do you say?
I don't know.
How are you going to ask us what it means, and you was on the phone?
You heard that?
He said you're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Why would you call? What the f***? I don't know what that was. It's 50-50.
But nobody got this number, though.
Yeah. It's amazing that Shador basically lives his life on Instagram or whatever the hell that is.
Well, he did. I mean, they filmed all of this. Yeah, I don't know if he's living his entire life. I don't know if he's on a live stream now.
I don't follow him, but he, I think there's a lot of social media content that he puts out there. One of the reasons why... Yeah, but it's one of the reasons why, he makes so much money with his name, image, and likeness, because he is so popular on social media, and a lot of people follow him.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I would have done at that age, what these kids did, but now, like, all these years later, I'm like, oh, man, that's rough. That's terrible.
Especially when your dad's a coach in the NFL.
Yeah, that's even worse, because then it makes your dad look bad.
Another dumbass move.
But I definitely would have done that.
How do you think Jeff Ulbrich feels?
Not good.
Oh, yeah, like a dummy.
No, he doesn't feel like a dummy. He's like, my kid is a jackass. No,
he also feels like a dummy because he left that open on his iPad. He can't be doing that, man.
Yeah, I can't even imagine that discussion between father and son. Like, what are you doing?
He's 21. It's not like he's 15 or
I know, but
16.
Still, I mean, he compromised his dad. He took the number off of his dad's iPad.
Talk about
entitled.
Dad
didn't know anything about it. And supposedly Shador had changed his number, his cell phone number, before the draft. And then the NFL got the new number because he was not at the draft. And thank God he was not at the draft. And sent that number around. So everybody had the number in the NFL. And that's where Jeff's son found it. Like, Jesus. No. I can't. What is the kid's name is Jax.
Jax Ulbrich. Jax Ulbrich.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Doesn't seem like the Ulbricks have washed the Jets off them quite yet. They got a couple more months to get it completely off of them.
Now, there were some that were stunned the way Shador fell, including one Mel Kiper on ESPN, who was livid. I shouldn't say livid, but incredulous to how the NFL has drafted quarterbacks in past years.
What does that mean?
Oh, come on.
What do you say?
Yeah, what does that mean, Jerry?
Where the hell did it go? Oh, man, you stink. I got to get this for you. I'm going to play Jalen Milroe first, and I'm going to come back to that because there's a reason why I do want to play this for you. Here's Milroe with the media in on a conference call in Seattle.
Jalen, do you think you're the best quarterback in the draft, and do you have any message for the teams that passed on you today?
No pass.
Belt to ass is
belt
what he said.
Belt to ass.
Yeah.
Well, he's gonna whoop these teams that passed on him with a belt to their ass?
Apparently so.
All right.
Apparently so.
I like that. All right, my guy, Jalen Milroe.
Here's Mel Kiper.
Boomer Esiason was not happy when he was the second-round pick. Tom Brady was not happy. They dropped. How'd they turn out?
My point is,
the NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks. Clueless. All that, no idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterback. That's proof. There's proof of that.
Hmm. So there you go. Talking about guys that have slipped that should not have slipped.
Yeah, it's a little, I know. Every year I hear the same thing. So
your name was all over the place this weekend.
I appreciate Mel, and I appreciate his support for me back in 1984 because that's when it really started, and that's when he really became the thing that he is now, the draft person that he is. So I appreciate that. But man, it's like every year it's the same thing.
I hear you.
Because every year somebody's going to fall for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's your own personality traits that piss somebody off. Sometimes they don't think that you can play. Sometimes they wonder if you're a really good teammate. I mean, there's all sorts of things that goes into this. And then if there's anything off the field that we don't know but that they find out, and then we may not find out ever, or we might find out, like, you know, 6 weeks from now.
Yeah, understood.
Yeah, this is a post from my buddy Andrew Filippone, who does a talk show out in Pittsburgh. It says, Mel Kiper Jr., for 50 years, the NFL's had no idea how to evaluate quarterbacks. Bro, you rank some guy named Forrest Lamp ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Pipe down.
Well, I mean, the fact is that Mel Kiper sits there every year and basically pumps guys up all the time. And sometimes those guys never turn out in the NFL.
Well, yeah, but he's also, you know, he's been talking about Shador as his number one overall player, and it's embarrassing for him to see the NFL smack him down to the fifth round because he looks like a doofus.
Yeah, I don't know if Mel Kiper has actually sat down with Shador. I have no idea. But if he would have put together a number of things that Shador had done leading up to this draft, he would have to say, I now understand why he's dropped. It's more personality driven than anything else.
Like Jalen Milroe said about it, the teams that passed on him, belt to ass, ESPN had lips to ass on the Sanders the entire weekend.
Yankees swept a doubleheader.
I will say, when we came back in Friday morning, that it was embarrassing that ESPN opened with Shador Sanders when Cam Ward was going to be the first pick. They spent 3 minutes talking about Shador Sanders as they opened their coverage. And we all knew that Tennessee was taking Cam Ward. That's who you should have been talking about.
Sure. Absolutely. Blew it. Jake is in Boston. What's going on, Jake?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, man.
Listen, I actually sent Tony an email 2 days ago. I've been on top of Belichick for the last 7 or 8 years because this behavior actually started with his ex. A couple things specific to this, if you get him on. Number one, her and Caroline Leavitt, who is the White House press secretary, are very friendly on Instagram. They're both from the same region. They're both Northern New Englanders. They both are also an age gap relationship. And the way she came across was very much similar to the way Caroline conducts a White House press room. So I wonder if he has any insight onto Jordan's relationship with Caroline Leavitt and what they've been talking about behind the scenes, because I think that's a fascinating aspect of this. Two, I don't know where Carolina goes from here, because this reminds me of what happened last summer, at least with how this story has grown and grown and grown. Similar to what happened with Joe Biden during the first debate. And it was the initial wave of coverage, but each day results in a new peeling of the onion. And if you're the University of North Carolina, a public institution, and you realize everything from this from now on, and today you have the great New York Post story about all the real estate Jordan has gotten over the last 18 months, more layers are going to come to the surface. They don't necessarily have a way out, and that's a really expensive buyout, but there's no way this gets better. And there's too much time between now and the start of the season in September to where this is not going away. And by the way, yesterday we got the first comment from the Belichick family on this stuff that's not named Bill.
Yeah.
When Bill's daughter-in-law, Jennifer Belichick, commented on a post on the Gronkowski Edelman podcast on Instagram, responded to Nikki Glaser, who was basically like, Jordan was unprofessional. And Jen goes, that's not what a publicist is supposed to do, and basically called out Jordan. So this is also in the family, too. Jordan does not talk with the kids, even though behind the scenes we've seen FOIA emails about her and Steve and defending Steve. They don't have a relationship with the kids right now.
What do you do all day, man?
This has been my beat for the last 6 years.
This is incredible. I have to say,
So here's the question that I have for Jake, because it sounds like, you know, I don't know if you heard Al Dukes this morning talking with Jerry Recco. They have a bet, and Al Dukes says that there's no way that Bill Belichick is going to be coaching the North Carolina Tar Heels this season. Are you in agreement with Al Dukes?
You know, if they have squashed this story, and to be honest, I thought there might be some behind-the-scenes maneuvering from Bob Kraft in terms of sabotaging the interview with the Bill question, because Bob and Sherry Redstone are really close. Robert Kraft is on the board of Viacom because of Sherry Redstone. The Redstone, Sherry's father was the first one to call Robert Kraft.
Yeah, but Jake, you do know it's been sold. You do know that Viacom Paramount has been sold to Skydance.
But they've got to get approval from the FCC, and that's involved Sherry pretty significantly. I think it's going to be a long road to the finish line here. I do think she was a net positive in terms of buzz and hype until this happened, because ultimately Carolina's goal is to have enough buzz and energy around the program to where the SEC and the Big Ten are looking at them and saying, expansion, we want you over Virginia Tech. We want you over Florida State. They're in that conversation. And until this happened yesterday, and basically the emasculation of Bill Belichick over the last 72 to 96 hours, they were part of that conversation. And that's their bigger goal with this hire. So as long as the onion doesn't keep peeling, and I think it's going to keep peeling, He'll be there on opening day. I just think you've got to slash
all right, Jake,
as best as possible.
Are you? Let me just ask you this: are you a fan of Bill Belichick or no?
I'm a Patriot fan, but I realized 5 or 6 years ago that there was Bill's ex had a lot of power in terms of what he was making Bill do. Do you remember the draft in 2020 where Nike the dog was?
Yeah,
the dog was sitting there.
That was disgusting.
I emailed Jason Gay, wrote this puff piece on how great it was, and I'm like, Jason, this is the dumbest thing I think I've ever seen. His draft, he's drafted one Pro Bowler in the last 7 years. Like, you can't have the dog as a draft prop. The year before, she drafted Juwan Williams for him in the second round because they both went to Vanderbilt. And Bill, everyone kept talking about how great it was. Bill was going to Middle Tennessee State in February of 2020 when he wasn't at the draft combine. It's because Linda was dragging him all over Nashville as a socialite prop.
Well, Jake, this is incredible. I mean, I'm floored by the amount of research you've done on this. Are you this into the Karen Reed trial as you are with the Belichick stuff?
Not as much. You'll have to leave that to Turtle Boy. That's his beat.
Okay, do you think she's going to be found guilty or innocent?
I think the state has to find her guilty because they spent a ton of money on it. She is innocent.
Okay, all right, very good there, Jake. Amazing. I mean, this guy, Jesus. Linda Holiday and going to Vanderbilt and drafting guys.
Linda Holiday was drafting people?
Yeah, that's what he said.
So I guess what he is trying to say here is that the Bill Belichick that we see as the football coach that we admire, that we respect, that we all wanted for the Giants and everything else, is this emasculated man and has been taken advantage of by two women who have changed his life and his direction?
That's what he's saying, yeah. I mean, he had lots of examples there.
Wow.
And by the way, wasn't there an out or a buyout situation in Belichick's contract in June of this year?
Well, yeah, if he ended up getting a pro job, yes.
But is it contingent on that?
I don't know, but I still
say. Well, I think it's important now.
I still say, you remember how low Colorado went as a football team and as a football program? They weren't getting any people at the games. Nobody was going there. They weren't winning. And they became an afterthought and probably a joke in many of the eyes of the administration there in Colorado and also the alum. So what did they do? They went out and they hired a showman. And that guy came in and did everything that he said he was going to do. And that was to put Colorado back on the map and rebuild the brand, because he's always been about the brand. Now, it's been his own brand in terms of Prime, but he had to rebuild the brand of Colorado. And for at least the last 2 years, he has moved the needle significantly for Colorado and has made them a known entity.
Yeah, but I know you're trying to get to the Belichick part of this. This is the direct opposite, no, right now. He's ruining their brand.
Yeah, no, but maybe they're ruining the brand now, but I think that the reason that North Carolina went in this direction.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Is the same reason why Colorado went in their direction, but they thought that they were hiring, you know, a football savant, which Bill is. I don't care what anybody says. He is. But I don't think they were hiring what they got now, right now, in terms of all of this stuff around his book. Like, I don't even know why he wrote a book. Why would he have to write a book?
I don't know. Maybe this because he didn't think it was going to be coaching, and he figured here's a little bit more revenue that can go in my pocket. It's all about money. He wanted to make some more money. That's why he wrote a book.
Yeah, but you got to know when you have to go on these book tours, as every writer knows, you're going to be asked questions that, you know, either don't involve the book or just specifically about the book. But I think this is what happened here.
Yeah, I mean,
CBS.
Yeah, clearly that's what happened. But yeah, so that out in the contract in June, that to me is now fascinating, because if this thing continues to bubble up, like Jake in Boston is saying, and the layers of the onion continue to get peeled every day, and it gets weirder and weirder, and then UNC is like, I got to get out of this thing. We got to figure out a way to get you out of here.
They're not going
to
do that. They're too far into it. The season's literally like right around the corner. The team is being built. You know, he's got Mike Lombardi down there. He's got his son down there. He's put a whole coaching staff together. I mean,
his daughter-in-law hates his girlfriend, though. He's supposed to be the head coach in waiting. And then also these emails out there about her protecting him because of the nepotism thing can't be helping either. Whole thing's a disaster. Well, Miss Hancock's got it all screwed up.
Well, and then she's going to be running for Miss Hancock again here in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We should go.
But I don't think that...
Go up to the Miss Hancock competition.
I really don't think that this is going to have anything to do with North Carolina's decision to keep him or get rid of him. I think that they're all in. They're all in for him right now. And no matter what you hear, maybe from a unidentified source or something like that, I don't think any of that matters. I think North Carolina is all in, and he's going to coach them. And
at this point of the information that we know, if it continues to get stranger and stranger, then who knows? But, I mean, every day it's something weirder. So that's why. And then Al's right. Once you get everybody sniffing around it now. The Athletic, New York Post.
The family may just be upset just because of, you know, his age, how much he's accumulated, and, you know, who's he leaving it to, that kind of thing. You get into that world, now all of a sudden anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, she just purchased $4 $2 million homes.
Or whatever she owns.
Yeah.
Land or homes or whatever.
Something we talked about in the break, because we like talking sports in the break around here. I don't know what everybody else does, but we just go hardcore.
We go hardcore sports
in the breaks.
Deep in the weeds. Yes.
Really, really, really into the weeds. The worst organizations, or the organizations that have had the worst quarterback situations in their history. Now, the three off the top of my head are the Browns, the Jets.
Oh, that's nice.
And the Bears.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, it's not. I mean, I'm not. I mean, I didn't put the Bengals in there because when you played for them, it was incredible.
Yeah, but the Bengals have always seemed to have a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
They have some down times, but they had Andy Dalton for a long time, Carson Palmer for a long time. Now they have Joe Burrow. They had me. They had Kenny Anderson. I mean, they had Jack Blake in there.
Right, I know. I was just about to say, for a team that has not won a Super Bowl, they've probably had the best run of quarterbacks out of any of those teams.
Yeah, right, because the Green Bay Packers have won a Super Bowl, and the Green Bay Packers would probably be... Well, although, you know, the Dallas Cowboys had Bledsoe, Romo...
Yeah, but no, they won. Prescott, they won. I'm talking about... They've won in their history.
Yes.
I'm talking about for a team, the teams that have not won Super Bowls.
Well,
it'd
be the Bears and the Browns would be the two worst. And then, I guess, the Jets. But, you know, the Jets have drafted Sam Darnold. They drafted Mark Sanchez.
Okay.
They had Vinny Testaverde here. They did have Brett Favre. They did have Aaron Rodgers. Jesus. I mean, they've tried.
It's no, like they haven't everybody tried. Tries, yeah. But, you know,
yeah, but would you take a look at some of the, and I don't want to mean any of the players whatsoever. You know, if you make it to the NFL, you make it to the NFL. That's something very few people in this world can say. But when you take a look at some of the decisions that they have made recently when it comes to quarterbacks,
you
have to wonder what the hell they're thinking in their building.
You're talking about the Browns.
Yes.
Do you think, how long do you think the two of us could go back? We'll shut our computers off. We'll go tit for tat. Browns quarterbacks that have failed. How long do you think we can go? Do you want a challenge? I'll challenge.
Oh, boy.
You can say no, but I'm writing down some right now. I'm writing some down.
I mean, I know they had Charlie Fry in there.
So you want to do it or not? You want
Eric
to go?
Anderson.
You want some of this? Wait, hold on. Don't start naming them all.
Want some of this smoke?
You want some of this smoke? Because I'm writing them down.
All right, go ahead. Write them down.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
First one I'm going to go with is Jake DeLome.
Yes, he was there.
All right.
I'll go with a friend of mine, Todd Philcox.
Philcox?
Yes, Philcox.
All right, so.
Remember, he was the one that was replacing Bernie Kosar.
All right. Very
and
good.
And Bill Belichick did that.
Tim Couch.
Charlie Fry.
Okay. Tyrod Taylor.
Derek Anderson.
Johnny Manziel.
God. The kid from Notre Dame.
Brady Quinn. All right. I'll take that. Even though he really shouldn't have failed, but this is what we're doing, Baker Mayfield.
He didn't fail, did he?
But we're doing all the guys who left. I mean.
Okay.
All these guys, Baker Mayfield.
I think Len Dawson played a game there.
That doesn't count.
I think he played for the Browns for a game.
You got to think about all these guys that, you know, that came through. And I mean, Len Dawson, that's a long time
ago. Okay,
you
got
to be able to do better than that.
That doesn't count. Oh, God. Deshaun Watson.
Yep. I got one for you. That's a good one. Spurgeon Wynn.
How did you remember Spurgeon Wynn?
Because he ended up on the Vikings. He was the worst quarterback I ever saw in my life. I said, where the hell did this guy come from? I saw the Browns and I said, oh, it makes sense.
Oh, man. Was it Trent Dilfer there?
He was.
He was.
All right. Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Okay. Do you have the list in front of you, Al?
I'm looking at a jersey a guy wore to a Browns game with all their names on the back.
Oh, really? Okay.
And stitched in there. It's pretty good.
All right, I got another one in the tank here.
Oh, man. Well, I guess... Oh, man. I don't want to say Joe Flacco because he had a little success, right?
You could say Flacco.
But he had some success. That's why they brought him back. The reason they didn't bring him back and he went to Indianapolis is because they didn't want him to get in the way of Deshaun Watson.
Okay. All right. So if you don't want to take Flacco, don't take Flacco.
Nah, I can't. He wasn't there long enough, I guess.
All right. You're on the clock here. I got one. I got one in the hopper.
I said Charlie Fry. I said Derek Anderson.
I got one in the hopper.
You have one in the hopper. Eric Zier.
Wow. Al?
Zier? Let me take a look here. I'm not seeing a Zier, but that doesn't mean he didn't exist.
I think he played that. I think he did.
Hmm.
I know he played in Baltimore.
Yes or no? Can we confirm before we move on? Did I win? How do you spell his last name? Z-I-R-R-E or just... How do you spell it? You know?
Z-E-I-R, I think.
Yeah. Browns. Okay. I got one. No, I'm up.
Okay.
Brandon Whedon.
Colt McCoy. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I just got another one.
Oh, no, you're going to beat me. Did Simeon play there?
Trevor Simeon.
I do not see him on this guy's jersey.
Well, okay.
How about...
Wait, hold on. Oh. Trevor Simeon. Come on, give me the whole...
One of the McCown brothers played there.
Yes. Oh, Josh. Yeah, Josh. No, Simeon.
Wait, did Luke play there too?
Yes, because there's an L McCown on this
All right, so
jersey.
Luke and Josh both play there. How about Deshone Kizer?
Oh, yeah. All right, you know what? Good job. Pound, respect. You got it. You win.
I was just like, you know, it all just started coming. Just
yeah,
coming,
I know. I
didn't. A
couple others you might have forgotten. RG3 played there.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Damn it.
You got Gradkowski played
Bruce
there.
Bruce Gradkowski, yep.
Yeah, you had Jeff Garcia was there. Mullins.
Nick Mullins.
Jacoby Brissett. Bailey Zappi.
Wow.
Bailey Zappi. Sure, I don't know if anybody said Jameis, but Jameis was there, of course.
Stupid.
Let's see who else.
Was PJ Walker there?
Yeah, I think so. He was definitely there with the Panthers for a while.
Then right? There was the guy who played recently, Thompson something.
Yeah, I got him. I said him. Dorian Thompson Robinson. Yeah.
Yes. Check PJ Walker.
I don't see him on this shirt.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Nope. Yep. He's on the shirt. PJ Walker. Yep.
Wow. So that shirt, that jersey tells you all you need to know.
Oh, right? Yeah.
About the way that they have mishandled the position.
Yeah.
Like they could have had guys. They had Bernie. You know, Bernie was there for a long time. He was there when I was playing, and he was really good.
Yeah. And then after that.
But Bill Belichick benched him for Todd Philcox.
Yeah. Not a great decision, you're saying?
Bill ended up getting fired.
How's Todd doing these days?
I haven't talked to him in a while.
You know, I did want to, I wanted to do that Boomer Checks In with his old buddies segment.
Yes.
Todd Philcox would be a good one.
Yes, it would be.
Hey, Todd. He's in Norwalk, apparently. No, wait, not.
I had Todd in Cincinnati with me, I think, for maybe at least a year, I think.
He's 58.
Right.
He was born in Norwalk, Connecticut.
Okay.
I don't know where he is now, but he did go to Syracuse.
Yep.
And, 9 years in the NFL.
Yeah. Great dude.
Finished up with the Patriots. And the Browns for 2 years after the Bengals.
When was he with the Patriots?
1998. So, yeah. And he was...
That was Bill Belichick, right?
No.
2001 was Tom Brady.
Yeah, so no, it was 2000, I think, was the first year Belichick there.
All right, so that was Parcells.
Yeah, because 97, Parcells took that team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
98, though, no, 98, he was with the Jets. Remember, it was 96 he took him to the Super Bowl.
Then it was Pete Carroll.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 98 he was with the Jets, Parcells, the AFC Championship game.
So the point being is that, you know, they have mismanaged this so many different ways over the years, especially in the last 5 years with this, as they say, mishigosh.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets aren't much better. I mean, the Browns are the worst, and they actually, like, weren't a franchise for a couple of years.
Who's that? You know what they did? The Browns have Josh Johnson.
Everybody had Josh Johnson. That's not fair.
That's what I want.
Josh Johnson's on like 15 teams.
Was Josh Johnson on the Jets?
I think so.
Was he there for a year?
I think so. I'm telling you. Josh Johnson has been on so many. No, not the comedian Josh Johnson, football. He's been on so many freaking teams.
Yes.
2021 on the Jets.
He was. There you go.
And the Ravens. And that's it. He has multiple teams. Every year.
Yeah.
Was he in the USFL or the XFL? Also?
Yes.
It's
he won like a. I thought he was XFL passer rating leader in 2020. two-time PFL champion. I mean, think about this.
He was loves football. You got to give him that.
This is his resume starting in 2008. Bucks, Niners, Sacramento Mountain Lions. Who the hell are they?
That's really deep for Cocteau football. I don't know. Semi-pro, maybe.
Then he goes Browns, Bengals, Niners, Bengals, Jets, Colts, Bills, Ravens, Giants, Texans, Raiders, Commanders, the San Diego Fleet. Eddie?
Maybe that was, I think that was in the AF, AAF, I think.
The AF, the AS. The Lions, the Los Angeles Wildcats, then the Niners, the Jets, the Ravens, the Broncos, the Niners, the Ravens, the Commanders. And he's still on the Commanders roster. I mean, wow. I wonder what his career earnings are after all those teams.
I'm looking for it, actually, right now. I'm trying to think. Here it is right here. They got him on the Commanders. So his career earnings are...
$12
million. Yeah. 14 years, $12 million, 12 teams.
Hey, it's not bad.
Hey, if you can make it...
For a day's work.
Yeah.
For a decade's work.
Me, Al, and Jerry combined 30 years of radio each.
You know what? He has to have one of the longest transactions lists of any player in any sport.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt.
I'm trying to think like who would be similar to him in baseball or like hockey guys move around a lot. Who would be a baseball guy that has been on a million teams?
A lefty reliever.
Yeah, guy like that, yeah. Like an Adam Ottavino type,
I mean,
even though he's a righty.
The Jets alone have three transactions with him. 49ers have three transactions with him.
I bet you it's even more than that.
Texans have three transactions with him. The Giants have three transactions with him. The Colts have four.
See, there's more Jets, though.
And there's two more Jets. So that's five.
And then
five.
More Niners.
Man, look at the Niners. Four more transactions.
Edwin Jackson, baseball. He's been on 14 different teams.
There you go.
Wow. Yep. Bouncing around. But still loving it. Giving him a shot. We'll give him a shot. The Bussin' with the Boys podcast is a podcast that has former Titan tackle Taylor Lewan on it, along with Will Compton, who played in the NFL for a while. And they had Delanie Walker on 3 months ago. Delanie Walker played with Taylor Lewan in Tennessee. He was a tight end for the Titans.
Yeah, man, I think he made the Pro Bowl at least three or four times. He's a really good player for them.
Good player.
Yeah.
3 months ago, Delanie Walker said, I just watched the video, that Shedeur Sanders was going to be taken in the fifth round.
Yep.
And he bet $1,000.
Each of those guys.
Yep, that he wouldn't go in the first two rounds, but he said he's going to go all the way in the fifth round. I mean, that is incredible.
Well, he saw something that I think we've all finally come to realize.
And he was like incredulous about it. He's like, you'll see. He's like, these guys are like, there's no way. There's no way. Like, you want to tell me that he slips like in the second round somewhere, like Will Levis or something, but there's no way.
Yeah, they said to him, all right, we'll make the bet. If he goes in the first two rounds, we win the bet. If anything after the second round, you win the bet.
Yeah.
And he won the bet, $2,000. And he was... You go back and you look at that video, he was pretty emphatic about the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, he was just like, he was almost getting annoyed with the fact that they were just flabbergasted by his take. He's like, you're going to see. He's like, you're going to see. He's not going to go. He's going to go all the way in the fifth round. So he was the one guy who thought that. And then he said he also evaluated him and then had talked to other people. So he wasn't just guessing. I mean, he had an idea. But that was 3 months ago when Shedeur was still considered for like the second or third overall pick.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. And one of the people I talked to over the weekend is how the altitude supposedly helps Shador's arm strength. Now, I don't, and I asked this one person, I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, watch the Nebraska game when they played in Lincoln.
Okay.
And look at the difference of the way the ball was coming out of his hand as opposed to playing at 7,000 feet.
Did you feel that way when you played out in Denver?
I didn't. And it was interesting when I was playing in Arizona, we did practice up at Flagstaff, so that we were up that high.
Yeah.
But but I don't remember the ball like coming out of my hand easier, or the ball, you know, looking like it had more steam on it. And I don't know. I mean, and this is what these guys get paid to do. They get paid to like look at every little aspect of every player.
Sure. I mean, I understand, but that, you know, he's not the first guy to have played in Denver or had home games in Colorado, rather. You know, I mean, that's to me seems like a bizarre criticism. But if he doesn't have, they don't believe he has big arm strength, then maybe there's something to it. But I mean, every single thing now is being nitpicked with the two.
It is.
You know?
Remember the whole padding of the ball?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you, when we just go over the last 5 months of all the little things that came out, and then you add it all together, then maybe that's why Delanie Walker was so confident in his prediction.
Yeah, I mean, and really, it's not over yet. I mean, it's not like he's going to be a Cleveland Brown. It's locked in. He's going to be a Cleveland Brown for the rest of his career. I mean, who knows if he even makes it out of training camp?
Yeah, but who's to say that he can't be the starter?
Well, that too. I mean, it's a really unique situation where he could end up coming out of camp starting, or end up coming out of camp cut. I mean, but we're a fifth round pick, number 144
I know
overall,
that.
In a quarterback room, and there's three guys ahead of you. It's no lock that you make the team.
Go back and look at the scouting report on Tom Brady. Go back and look at the scouting report on Brock Purdy. Go back and look at the scouting report on Dak Prescott. And you know what's interesting to me is supposedly Tom Brady was mentoring this kid, and the Raiders still didn't take him.
Yeah,
and they could have used, and you know that would have been a good spot for him. I think sit behind Geno, watch Geno Smith. It was Geno's been through the ringer.
Yeah, and also there's been a lot of comparisons, his style of play and Geno Smith.
The other thing, too, is I think it would have been great for Pete Carroll to have him. Like Pete Carroll would have broken through whatever needed to be broken through. Like when you play for Pete Carroll, you love Pete Carroll.
Yeah. And now he's in Cleveland, where it's tough to thrive. Tough place to thrive there as a Cleveland Brown.
Yes, it is.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.